nastywork.com. All right, it's NASTYWURK.
But there are a lot. Calm down. Nobody stole your kids.
That's like money saying, all right, look, you don't want to battle me. Battle one somebody on my league.
Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech.
Reality is that American partnership market value.
Let's go!
Is depreciating with every passing year.
But artists, this is a good way to get your music popping right now and get something going for yourself. Yo, ladies and gentlemen, what's going down? It's your man, Mr. H. It's your man, Mr. H. We out here, y'all. Non-stop working podcast.
Hold my mic up a little bit.
Non-stop working podcast. We are out here in virtual. I do a little virtual this evening for you guys. We're just going to hang out if we can, all right? I got me a sandwich. I got an instrumental playing here that I was playing with. Sampled this guy singing offline or whatever like that. So that's what you hear playing in the background there. Just messing around with that, man. It's been a cool evening. Shout out to everybody who's been visiting the website, www.daus.me, where we're non-stop working. I should get my laptop going, right? Shout out to all of you also shout out to everybody who's been listening to Mr. Herd Jams on Reverb Nation. With Fourth right now and Reverb Nation. Maybe that's changed. Maybe we could take a look at that this evening. Well, I don't know, whatever. Right. We'll do all kind of stuff, man. We're just, like I said, rocking out here. In fact, let me go ahead and plug up. Hopefully you guys are all doing well, man. Visit the websites again, daus.me, chesttrunk.com, of course, baronherdpaintings.com, and nastywork.com. That's U-R-K, nastywork with a U, .com, nastywork.com for American Battle Rap. Yeah, man. But we've been building. We're getting ready for this art exhibition. Mm-hmm. We're building on this chess tournament, our first ever chess tournament. That's going to be interesting. And, man, we've been just... going through the archives, man, this whole Reverb Nation trend or streaming trend here has been right on time and major encouragement for me to kind of revisit the old work that we've done, you know, and see exactly where we've grown from. And if any of you are artists, you know what it's like to revisit old work. It's often very inspirational, motivational, and so on. So I got some decent motivation and revisited many ideas listening to work that we did early on. There were a lot of ideas that, you know, we tried and maybe didn't exactly execute so well. So revisiting those records and recordings were really helpful. It helped me remember some of the changes that I want to demonstrate for the world. Some of the clarity that I want to demonstrate still. So, you know what I mean? It helped me kind of refresh my memory on what things I still want to demonstrate. Some things that I tried and maybe didn't do so well at, you know. Here, let me represent that for you guys. So I'm excited to do that.
So we should ready to rock. Here, we gotta get some things going. Hold on,
let me turn this off for a second.
yeah, man. Shout out to all of you guys around the world who've been tuning in and helping us grow our broadcast, because without you, we wouldn't be able to do it. Where's my cell phone here? Mm-hmm. My man D Money, he's been crushing them with the Backstory Battle League. Hopefully you guys have tuned in already. If you haven't, you go do that. Like, subscribe, and share. It's Backstory Battle League on YouTube. Okay, it's a virtual battle league. It's been consistently growing. People are tuning into the live streams and participating in different events. They have different battle rap events. It's exciting stuff. And very entertaining. So hopefully, maybe he'll be going live this evening, and we'll be able to participate in that live. That would be cool. Okay, forgive me. I'm just visiting my phone for the first time in a bit. So okay. But guys, so much has been going on. So much is going on. And I'm really excited. I'm really excited. You know, I probably said this before the podcast. You know, if I died, I would really be happy. If I died, I'd be happy. But I'm saying, with life so far, though I've had things that I consider to be difficulties, and though there are still things that I want to accomplish and change, yo, man, I have to say that I'm thankful to be able to have seen many of the things that I have, and that I'm likely to see so many great changes in the future ahead. You know, I feel really privileged to be able to competently see and understand the changes, while many will not be able to reap the benefits of these changes, not because there's not the opportunity for them, but because they won't know how to exactly. Entertainment is people say it's changing, it's growing. Well, I don't think entertainment is going to be what it's been for too much longer. So we should expect great changes in the areas of entertainment. I think people will begin to, in a way, begin to entertain the self. So I think instead of it being such a big turn to celebrities, that people will begin to entertain people on their own, and in that way there will be more celebrities. However, there won't be network owned celebrities, or there'll be a combination of the two. So you'll have network owned celebrities, but then you'll have more regular celebrities, like, for instance, what people began to call the influencer. You say this person's an influencer, or they're a trend setter. I think that these are all terms that identify people who are celebrities without a big corporate thing creating them and owning their ability to be implanted on the psyche of the people. You dig what I'm saying? And so I think with the technological advances, we're going to see more people becoming these self-celebrities or self-made celebrities, or maybe like public celebrity or private celebrity. I don't know. You know what I mean? But it's going to be more common for, like, one celebrities in a way. Like, all right, when the change actually happens, this new version of the celebrity will be the favored celebrity. You dig it? It'll be a very common thing for people to have
almost, in my opinion, like celebrity the correct way. So you know how you got your neighborhood celebrity where people say that's you just known in the neighborhood? Well, I believe that celebrity is going to become more important with the truths being revealed that are being revealed and stones being turned over that are being turned over. People will begin to value these other people who are putting in work, putting in effort and all these kind of things. And that we'll see an emergence of this separate celebrity, which is already there now, but we'll see it. And it will have more growth and more traction in that more people will join the ranks of those celebrities. And that the challenge will become for mainstream entertainers, celebrities to keep up with them. The challenge will be that mainstream celebrities have to keep up with the vast and growing assortment of outside celebrity. You know? And that's just going to be a whole world itself. That's a whole Marvel comic book that we can write when that occurs. But it will. It already exists now, but it's going to become more apparent as this mainstream entertainment monopoly falls. And it's falling because it's been established on false foundations, as we've discussed before in the past. So in my day, I believe I'm going to see all of that. In my day, I believe I'm going to see the collapse of what we know is mainstream entertainment, and it won't die. It will shift its weight, if you will. However, the time will change. And as I said, a part of that change will be that there will be all of these new individual celebrities that people turn to, and the mainstream will have to compete with them. And you already see it now. What the mainstream used to do is just buy them out. But that's going to be is going to get harder and harder to do, and it's already harder and harder for them to do. So this is where social media sites like Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, all them, all those places help the mainstream keep control of the. Didn't hit my sandwich yet? I should have already hit my sandwich, but I haven't. My fault. That was the cell phone hookup. Let's see what we got going on in here. We're online and everything.
It's 10:03 p.m.
Yes, it is. So it's 10:03 out here. What am I looking for? So yeah, man. Make sure you guys subscribe at patreon.com/nonstopworking. I'm going to be releasing my new music there. Okay, I'm going to be releasing my new music there. So that's where you'll be able to get it. I may do Amazon and iTunes, all those kind of places. However, you know, I really want to make my music for the people who want to hear it. Exactly. Far as for the world and everything, I'm not certain that I want to make music for this world to listen to. The entire world, like, some people will say, but you want people to be able to discover it. They'll still be able to discover mine. But far as feeling the, like I just told you guys what's going to be going on. I just told you, hey, the celebrity thing's going to fall. There's going to be all these separate celebrities like it already is. I'm just thinking in that way. I'm thinking like I need to make myself. I need to separate myself so that people who actually value me can find me and appreciate me without noise. You know, so that's how I'm looking at it, man. Now, have you guys been staying up on your stocks? Hopefully you have been. Hopefully you have been. I certainly have. You know what I mean? My portfolio is looking all right. Yeah. It ain't all that, but it ain't bad at all, man. We're not in bad shape. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk to you guys before we get off the air about some stocks.
I was listening here to this video here with Shahrazad Ali on the Rock Newman show. Perhaps I can play a little bit of that for us here. Check it out.
Let's give the white man back his God. And we refuse to do that. We need to give him back his name. We refuse to do that. We think these things are not important, but they didn't do anything to us that wasn't important. Everything was designed to rob us of ourselves and make them the people that are the best. But actually, you are the best. We have the best man on the planet. Everybody want our man with us. And that's what it was designed to do.
Greetings, beloved, and thank you so very much for deciding to take a moment and to join the Rock Newman Show 2.0 today. I have a guest today that my producer Avis and I have been wanting to have on for a very long time. We look at
he filed. What's your
first thing we have to do to shake off our ancestral slave history is get a white man back his God. And we refuse to do that. We need to give him back his name. We refuse to do that. We think these things are not important, but they didn't do anything to us that wasn't important. Everything was designed to rob us of ourselves and make them the people that are the best. But actually, you are the best. We have the best man on the planet. Everybody want our man with us. And that's what it was designed to do.
Greetings, beloved, and thank you so very much for deciding to take a moment and to join the Rock Newman Show 2.0 today. I have a guest today that my producer Avis and I have been wanting to have on for a very long time. We look at the strife that is rampant throughout our community and so many of the dysfunctional relationships that are happening between mother and son, husband and wife, and so on and so forth. And for decades now, our guest, Shahrazad Ali, has been speaking to these issues. Oftentimes, what she has communicated has been very controversial. She stays rooted in her beliefs that she's been sharing for a very long time. Ms. Ali, it is my pleasure to host you today and to have you as a guest on the Rock Newman Show 2.0.
Well, I'm so honored, and I thank you very much for inviting me. I have seen your show too for a long time, seen different people on there, and I wasn't sure if you just had men, so I didn't ever approach you about it. I said, well, I'll just wait. They'll get around to me. And then you did.
Man, oh, man. And I'm telling you, getting around to you and having to get a yes from you was indeed exciting. You know, I've got notes all over my desk, text messages from Avis about potential places to go. But I'm going to take the risk to go to something that some folks might look at and say, oh my God, you're starting at a very morbid place. But let's just start here and we can unpack it all. You making the comment about seeing someone very close to you suffer before they died. And yeah. You made the comment and wrote a piece saying you want to own your own death. Would you please elaborate on that?
Well, like every other culture, when we were forced to come here, when they, you know, enslaved us and drug us over here, we already had our own systems of politics, child rearing, life, death, food, clothes. We already had those ideas. And we had already systems that we were practicing. And one of the things that has never been challenged here is how we die. Now, we know the police kill us. We know that our open enemy kill us. But we have not ever discussed how do we want to die? How should we die? And things like that. The Indians, they had their processes, but of course we weren't allowed to pick it up or anything. And so when I say I want to own my own death, I mean, I want to decide if it's at the end and I no longer have a quality of life. And I'm a type A personality, so I don't want nobody changing no diapers and, you know, doing all of those things. I want to decide how I want to die. And if it's by medication and go to sleep, that's painless, then I might want to do that. But I think we should have a choice instead of being forced to drag out, spend all that money, let all of the white-owned hospitals make millions and billions of dollars off of our dying process when we get to the end and we know we're no longer useful. We're just a burden on our families and our children and grandchildren. Then we need to just go on and end this and let that be the end of our story and leave our legacy intact. Instead of leaving our last memory, one of us curled up in the bed, not knowing anybody, you know, and losing control of our bodily functions. I don't want that. I'm not going to have that.
I've been told by folks that advise me on how I can be a better talk show host is to remain neutral. Just call balls and strikes. Remain neutral. Not necessarily to give my opinion. But to me, what you just expressed makes all the sense in the world.
Yes.
And I'll take it just beyond that. I want to get your thoughts on this. And I hadn't thought to ask this question, but I just want to take it to that next step. Where are you in terms of cremation versus a burial at a cemetery?
We're going to have to go to cremation a lot of, you know, because we've already tested that if you die, you're going to come back. And if we came back, there's no room for everyone. And it's very expensive. People put $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 in the ground trying to honor somebody who's not even aware of what's going on. And I don't think that that's a good idea either. I think that like a person like myself who does not believe in life after death, okay? Not a physical life. And so it's a real test for those of us who say we believe that to say, well, I'd rather just be cremated. Here's the thing. If you heat the human body to 300 degrees Fahrenheit and put a little Clorox or something in it, the body turns into mineral oil. So I had someone ask me, do you think we're already eating people? I say, well, we may not be eating them, but we certainly are rubbing them on our body and cosmetics because mineral oil is used in everything. It's
right.
Like soybean oil.
Right.
And so we know that there are some other uses for the human body for that flesh than just putting it in the ground to rot and turn back into dirt anyway, back into the earth. And so I think that cremation is a good solution. And the way they do cremation these days, let me tell you, is that they leave you in the locker for 2 or 3 weeks to make sure you are really dead, even if you don't have a heartbeat. They leave you in there to make sure that you're not going to come back alive. Back in the olden days, they would put a bell on the casket so that if you did come back alive, you would ring the bell and they'd dig you up. But see, we don't have that. So, but no, I think that that's going to be the best way. It's too many people. Not that the earth is overcrowded. You know, everybody in America could live in Texas if we had to. So there's plenty of room here, but it's just, that's just a waste of useful land to keep burying people. And now a lot of cemeteries are burying people on top of each other, putting 2 and 3 caskets in the ground because there's no space. The people are dying quicker than they're being born because of abortion and so forth. And so we just need to just get a system for that, stop paying all that money, and be done with it.
Two questions and two what I deem to be some very, very practical and useful answers. You know, I think that in interviewing you, talking to you, sharing with you, we inevitably, it's an easy slide into controversies in terms of things that you have said, wisdom that you have imparted. And so I want to ask this. It's an open-ended question, and I already know it could be answered so many different ways. But I just want to get your thought, because I witnessed something within the last 2 days that made me say, I'm gonna talk to Ms. Ali about this. I saw a man and a woman. Matter of fact, I was at their home. And they got in a little spat. And it energized quickly. And they were at each other's throat. You know those times when you want to just kind of disappear and be at, you know, just falling in a hole or something. And I mean, they were really at each other's throat. Well, if you do this, I'll do this. Well, you want to do that, I'll do this. And she ultimately left and slammed the door. I thought the walls were going to fall down. Mm-hmm. Nothing was resolved. There was no agreement. I didn't know what was going to happen. I tried to make as quick and a dignified, hasty retreat as I could.
Yeah.
So I left. Haven't talked to him since. It made me think that happens in life where there is a disagreement, man, woman, get married, mm-hmm. whole lot of disagreements. But in that circumstance, what do you think should happen and how it should one have the final say? I looked at that and I was I kind of saw both points, but the 2 points were polar opposites. And I'm like, okay, now what's going to happen?
It's unfortunate that it has grown to be like that. Most of us don't realize that in the studies that I have done, we learn how to argue and disagree with our mate and in the home. A lot of times it's what we see and how we see our parents fight. If they fight in the ring and just deal with the subject, if they have enough self-control to control themselves and to tell the guest leaves and talk about it later when they're alone, or if we have actually 2 women arguing, the men arguing like a woman and the woman arguing like a woman. Because a lot of times we fuss at our men so long, and in order to try to defend themselves, they start talking like us. And then that's right down our alley, because then we can really let it go then, and we both, you know, can fuss, and it sounds like 2 women arguing as opposed to a man and a woman. And so we have to learn how to fight in the ring. When I say fight in the ring, I mean, if we are arguing about you didn't take the trash out, and I tell you every day to take the trash out and on our behavior, because you have never seen 1 commercial. The commercials run all day. Repeat means everything. And after we start bullying that into our heads, yep. allowing our children to listen, go to sleep with earphones in their ear and listening to a lot of nonsense around the clock,
mm-hmm.
they'll fight you about their cell phones and different things because, you know, the manufacturers have made it addictive for us. And we have addictive personalities because we don't have no self. And you know, that's another reason I want to add that we can be, we turn into another person in a movie. When we play a person and do a biopic, we actually turn into them because we're an empty vessel. We can put anything in there. We can be anybody. Ooh. We can be anything.
You say we do that because we have no self.
Yeah. Whew.
That's deep.
Yep.
Thank you. I didn't know you could get all this stuff.
Yo, that's on the Rock Newman Show. I encourage you to go check that out. And it gets heavy. They go deeper in. They start going in. I'm not going to take any views or streams away all crazy from the Rock Newman Show. So I encourage you to go check that out. You can find that on YouTube. It says Shahrazad Ali on Rock Newman 2.0. Go check that out. She's spitting game. You know what I'm saying? As she's always been. Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, so check that out. We're in virtual. Zooming around virtual. That's all we're doing. Uh-huh. Your man Terrence Howard, he's been out here dropping bombs on them, doing lectures and seminars talking about physics. Whoo. We got Trump up for election. He's running, and people, they're really trying real hard to make it impossible for him to win. But me personally, I think he can really do it. He can have my vote. It's no big deal. Mm-hmm. The sister, Fonnie Willis, is out here getting at work right now. They're trying to pin some things on her. That's a tough position, tough spot for her to be in. But I also wanted to talk to you guys about that Confederate flag. You know, a lot of people were saying that the Confederate flag was a racist flag. I know a young lady who told her daughter some things that weren't exactly accurate about that flag. And when I mentioned it to her, she was like, you know, she doubled down on what she said. You know, she's basically like, anybody bearing that flag or waving that flag or has that flag on them or something like that is a racist. And I was like, well, that's not exactly accurate. Like, the flag isn't a symbol of racism. Nor is it a symbol of white supremacy. And she was having quite a hard time hearing me say anything about that. But I wanted to play with you, I guess, maybe here. A few of these videos, different videos, talking about that Confederate flag and what it actually is. And just because that's significant. Shout out to Dan Calloway. He's doing a good job at pointing these kind of things out to you all as well. But there's so many truths that are coming to the forefront that are really, really important truths. Hang tight. Let me see where it is. Man, hold on. I'm looking. I'm not sure where I'm gonna find what I want. Okay. In fact, well, let's just do it this way. Let's go. Let's go. Right, let me see whose video this is here. All right, this is Dan Calloway's video. I'm going to look for it here. Let's see what he's talking about here. Let's see what he's talking about.
I can't say anything on that because most of that stuff is already done. But this is something my wife said, I get their opinion on this because this is something that's going to be put out during Black History Month, so-called Black History Month. I'm about to play the video. Here we go. Let's do it.
If you would like to know a little bit about Karen Cooper, I don't like to be told what to do. I'm a proud Virginia flagger, and we are at Hollywood Cemetery in Richmond, Virginia.
Shout out to Richmond.
I grew up in New York. I was a member of the Nation of Islam in New York. You know, the Nation of Islam thinks, you know, races should be separate, you know, black and white and stuff like that. And then I came down here, and we were more together, and I just realized, I was like, well, that can't be right because there's a lot of nice white folks. I mean, people wave to me that I've never known. The North, they claim that they like black people and they care about black people, but it is so segregated. It's not funny. I felt more welcomed in the South. I believe in a very limited, very small government. I joined the Tea Party because I actually wanted to tell people that the federal government shouldn't be doing all this stuff that they're doing. You know, you are not to control every aspect of our life. And so on Facebook, I started meeting, you know, my friends who was in the Tea Party. They were mostly, you know, they had Confederate ancestors. Then I met this lady, Susan Hathaway, and she started flagging. And I said, well, I should go out there and flag with her because, one, I support, you know, Confederate history, and two, it's a great way to show my freedom of speech. It's my right to be able to be out there in public with the battle flag, you know? So that's why I did it.
Now, really quickly, I just want y'all to notice that she's not talking about her individual history with her ancestors. No, I wanted y'all to know that she's talking about, she came from New York, and when she moved to the South from Richmond, Virginia, she wanted to be a part of something. She thought this was great. I'm gonna continue on.
I know what people think about when they see the battle flag. You know, all they think is KKK and we hate black people, you know, or we want to bring slavery back.
See?
So I knew it was going to be something for people to see a black woman with the battle flag. Actually, most people don't even stop to talk to me because I think they in such shock to see me out there with the battle flag. I don't even think they don't have the nerve to even ask why I'm out there. You know, I'm not advocating slavery. I think that, you know, it was right. It wasn't, and none of my friends think it was. It was just something that happened. It just didn't happen in the South. It happened worldwide. I said this before and people gonna think it's horrible, but I believe slavery is a choice. And I say that because of what Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death. To me, you know, if we ever went back to that kind of slavery, no, I couldn't do it. Give me death. I feel I'm a slave now because the federal government does control me. I can't smoke what I want to smoke. I can't drink what I want to drink. If I want to put something into my body, it's my body, not theirs. So what gives them the right to tell me what I should do? That's tyranny. But yet and still, it's only the Southerners and it's only the battle flag that has all the weight and the guilt on it. And it's not right. It's not right. I actually think that it represents freedom. It represents a people who stood up to tyranny. And by me being out there, I hope that you would see this is not racist. I mean, how can it be racist if I'm out there with them? I'm talking with them. I'm hugging them. You know, I'm conversing with them. These are my best friends that I'm out here with.
So this is Danes Calloway's video. This is Confederate flag is not it's not what they told you. Okay. Many folks out here think that that is a sign and a symbol of racism and so on and so on, and it's not. All right. There were many, many flags, guys, that were used that have been outlawed and different things like that. Okay. And that Confederate flag was one that was waved by many people, but many people who made a diverse grouping here in America that were fighting for rights and so on and so on. You should look into that and be familiar with that. Okay. But the Confederacy itself here in America, I want you to know that no Europeans created that here. That's something that our folks started here in America, and that these folks, in some ways, the people who occupy America, those people hopped in the seats of that, if you will. You know, what they operate is simply our operation, how we structured it. And that's hard for so many people to believe because we don't have certain perspectives correctly understood. So we can't visualize it all the right way, but that's the reality. So if you look into the building of Confederacy, you'll find out stuff like that. I think I have something that will speak a little bit about it. I'm looking for it. Let me see. Let me see this. We'll play this, all right, real fast. This is first, air says, Iroquois Confederacy, First Democracy of the Americas. Just a lot of these videos are really kind of dry as you hear it with this music. Now, I don't mind stuff like this. I'll just sit through it, but.
One that is not written in the history books, nor is it being taught in the classrooms.
Maybe it's not too painful. We'll see.
But I think you will agree that it should be. It was long, long ago, in the days of our ancestors, there lived a man named Daganoweda, an Oneida holy man. And at that time, there were five nations living in the area. They were the Seneca, the Mohawk, the Onondaga, the Cayuga, and the Oneida. And these nations were always fighting with each other. Many wars were being fought. Many lives were being lost. This greatly troubled Daganoweda. And he thought, there must be a way to devise a system by which these nations could live together in peace, a secure and lasting peace. He thought and thought about this until he hit upon a plan, one he called the Great Plan of Peace. Then he began to travel among these nations, speaking with the people, sitting in council, explaining his plan, forging alliances. The alliance was such that each tribe would maintain control over their own affairs, but they would come under a much larger treaty, one that stated, should anyone attack any one of these tribes, they would be attacking all of them. All major decisions would be made by the five nations sitting in council. The day-to-day decisions would be left to the individual tribes. And it was the women who would elect the men to council. This was part of the rule. And if the men did not do the job, the women would vote them out.
All right. Now, right there, they just broke down the way your first government was kind of ran and established here in the Americas. Okay. Five tribes came together. They were always fighting. One of the guys said, hey, got to be some way we can all live peacefully together. So he went visiting the varying tribes, talking with the different guys there, hey, gathering, meeting, building, that kind of thing. Established the system. The women voted the men in, okay? So the men could be chosen, and the women were the ones who voted them in. Now, today in America, we do this voting thing, right, where women are the largest voting, are the largest voters, right? You see, if you get the female vote, you got it, right? Because it's more of the women. But if you go back to the beginning here, it was the women that always voted the men in. So when you look at the first government here being established, when you get to modern time and women are saying, how come there aren't women in politics? Well, because they're operating a system that's coming from a foundation where women voted men into positions of authority, not women sat in positions of authority and then competed against the men for them. You see that? So
things like that. Let me play a little further.
Would vote them out. And so these five nations came together and met at a place not far from what is today Syracuse, New York. And at that first meeting, over 50 chiefs gathered under a symbolic tree of peace and declared, "This is our alliance, and it is good." They became known as the Iroquois Confederacy.
All right. You heard that? The Iroquois Confederacy. So this is what I'm saying. The same way we just heard about how they built this Iroquois Confederacy, said that there's been other groupings and things like that in time. So don't, you know, trip.
But they called themselves the Haudenosaunee, the people of the Longhouse. Now, many years later, Benjamin Franklin had heard of this alliance. And at that time, the colonies were looking for a system by which they could work together.
Mm-hmm.
The problem was that each one of the colonies wanted to be in charge. But they knew they would have to come together to protect themselves from England.
Mm.
So in 1765, they met at the New Albany Convention. And Benjamin Franklin invited the Iroquois people to come to this convention to explain how their system worked.
See that?
And they did. And the colonial representatives liked this system.
See that?
And so that great plan of peace that Daganoweda started and brought democracy to this land 300 years before Columbus became the foundation for what is today the Constitution of the United States of America.
All right. Okay, y'all heard it, right? So I'm not making it up. I'm not assuming that it was that. No, y'all heard it. He just said it. This is how the Iroquois Nation here was rocking out. These five nations joined together, made this agreement, said this is how we're going to ball out. They presented that at a meeting, you know what I'm saying, where your American leaders or whatever, your European leaders and such heard this. They said the leaders of the colonies, you know, heard about this and then liked it. So they adopted this. Now, I don't, it's a hard thing to explain on this channel, at least, because I don't know that everybody, like we said, man, I don't want to sound mean. Okay.
It's 10:41 PM.
You can look at this as,
hey, it's 10:41 PM.
You can look at it like, hey, here's where these, like you said, Benjamin Franklin and the people of the colonies, like they agreed and liked this, and so they adopted it. Or you can hear that they didn't really have a setup of theirs, really. They didn't really have a structure. So that they adopted this structure. And it sounds polite and innocent here, but there's a theft to it. Okay, if you listen, it's like, hey, Ben Franklin invited these guys out to a meeting where these guys, the Native Americans, explained to non-Native Americans how their American government works. Why would they need to explain that? In explaining it, these foreigners now get the understanding of how your operation works, that you are all working together in agreement, but also that y'all might not like each other, that it's 50 of you, you see what I'm saying? So they came and gave to you guys not just an explanation of them being in an alliance, but they came and revealed to you how their strength in numbers worked. You see, I'm hoping that you guys put that together. Let me see. Because it's implied in there a bit. If you understand it, that's what I'm saying with history and understanding. And I went back quite a bit here.
But they called themselves.
Well, let's go back. Let's listen. Nishoni,
the people of the Longhouse. Now, many years later, Benjamin Franklin had heard of this alliance. And at that time, the colonies were looking for a system by which they could work together.
You see that? The colonies. Y'all know the colonies were being established by Britain. Britain were establishing the colonies here in America. Okay? America already had native people here. We were here doing our thing, as he's explaining, that they had this system of government for peace amongst themselves. And then years later, Ben Franklin, along with the members of the colonies, were looking for a system of their own that they could use to get along in this, that, and the third. This is within the colonies. So they came here to America. You know the story about the colonies, hopefully. They started building them up. They had a hard time. This is where everybody learns about Jamestown. Okay, but there were more colonies before Jamestown and so on and so on. Learn about those. So these people were here in America trying to get it popping. You don't have to make it look ugly. You don't have to make it out to be like, oh, they were trying to attack the natives. No, that's not it. They just came to this land and just started trying to get it popping. They was like, yo, we got every right to be here. That's our claim. We're going to start getting it popping, blah, 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 blah. So in that, they're looking for ways to govern themselves, ways, yo, how, what rules are we going to use? They don't have any of that. They don't have civilization here. And then when they get here, there are Europe who came over here for various reasons. We can go on and on about the reasons, but they came here. So essentially, they were foreigners who came over here hoping to get it popping. That is it. They came here hoping to get it popping. No different than the way they come here today hoping to get it popping. I've been playing y'all this migrant shit for the past month now, all right? The same way they come in here trying to get it popping. Oh, we hear the American dream. We want to get cars, freedom. That is what the colonies, the first early colonies, they were coming here trying to get the same thing. Yo, man, we heard y'all chilling over this bitch. Nigga, in Europe, we were peasants, and we trying to come over here and be blacksmiths and fishermen. Shit, we trying to be all that we can be. That's how they came over here, all right? So they got here. They said, listen, we just going to start doing. So they came over here, and they basically started trying to do the shit that they did at home. But not all of them was built to be doing that. Not all of them was built to be building shit. Not all of them was built to
it's
be
10:48 p.m.
lugging logs and sewing. And yeah, so there was a curve there. So when they get to the America, it would be a lot easier to just kind of get in with some folks that already got things set up. Okay. So that's what they sought to do. Look, we gotta get in good with some people that already got it set up. And for them, that was the Native Americans. And so their survival, their ability to survive became dependent on their connections with those indigenous people here, those Americans here, those Native Americans here. They needed them. How do we hunt? Where do we go? Where do we not go? How are you guys all getting along as a tribe? How come whenever we got an issue with one of y'all, we got an issue with all of y'all? See, you would never know unless you understand, because we got this Confederacy agreement where we all roll like this. You know, so it gets deep, right? So this also means, too, I want to drive it home, that those immigrants came over here, and they might have been sent by Britain and things like this, so forth and so forth, that there was a difference and became a difference between those people who lived in the colonies and then Britain. Britain saw those people in the colonies as like their subjects. You know what I'm saying? So it was almost like Britain saw the colonies as its own and its people as its subjects. And in the tale about America fighting British in Britain is America or Europeans from Europe attempting to tell America a story about them running away from Britain as a story of conquering the American landmass. That's a part of the lie. The story where they're fighting redcoats and all of that, that's not about them conquering the land of America. That's about them successfully running away from Britain, where Britain said, you're our subjects and you're going to do things that we say how we say it. They broke away from that. And that's the thing that we supposed to be celebrating with all these little holy days and all that jazz. That's what many black folks are getting confused when we're saying, oh, we got our independence and everything. No, the Native Americans, which we are, we did not get that independence. That's not our thing. That's the colonies thing, where those immigrants from Europe were over here and they then wanted independence from Britain because of taxation without representation and all of this fly shit. The Native Americans had nothing to do with that. We began to get involved with that kind of thing by joining in with the colonies and bullshit and so on and so forth. But initially, that had nothing to do with us. Okay. Now, as these colonies became aware and became aware of how our tribes operated and things like that, many tribes began siding with the colonies for different reasons. I mean, you know, again, due to history, man, go check it out. Go check the history.
States of America.
It's fascinating.
In 1987, Senator Daniel Inouye brought this before the combined houses of Congress. And it is now written in the congressional record that this is the truth. The Constitution of the United States came from the Haudenosaunee people. This nation was founded on Indian principles.
See that? I'ma tell you. Yo, it's hard finding things that explain it as simple as this. Because you got to sit through things sometimes. You got to, like, it might be a 2-hour long talk where you got to sit through to find one part. But, you know, yeah. It's very hard for some people to understand it. What it's hard for many people here to fathom Indian or Native American being everything. It's very hard for people to realize that. I encourage you to seek whatever evidence you need to make these things reality for yourself so that you understand and can see the world here, especially in America, the way it is actually. Some of you are walking and living a whole lie that you're allowing yourself to be told and repeating to yourself. Sister Shahrazad Ali said, all the people in America could fit inside of Texas. Did y'all catch that? She said that all the people in America could fit inside of Texas. Now, if that is true, and I've heard that in more places than one now, right? If that's true, that means the United States is huge. It also means there's land where we don't know what's happening on the land. We don't know. It means there's places in America we're not doing anything. Who's to say who is living there? This also means the land mass of Africa is huge. If all the people in America can fit inside of Texas, so much of our views on things are, guys, just incorrect. You know, we could come up with all fancy words. I'm like, yeah, it's just incorrect, man. I was talking to you guys. I don't know if I said it in the podcast. I should have. But do you know that there are certain points in the ocean that there are certain points in the ocean where water moves in different directions? Like, so if you see water like a river, right? You're sitting on a river and you're thinking, all right, we're sitting here on the water and all the water's flowing this way. Or on a still day, the water's not moving at all, right? If you say that to yourself. Can you imagine arriving at a point in the ocean where you can visibly see water going in a different direction than the water you're on? You're sitting in one water and then you're looking and in front of you, water is rushing left or rushing right. Yeah, there are points in the ocean where you find it moving. Okay? So you can go, say, 30 days in a direction on the ocean. You can go 20 days in a direction on the ocean, 15 days. And at different points, you know, the ocean's water might be behaving differently. There is pathways, if you will, sort of like highways that the oceans have. I'm saying all this to say that we really don't know how far or how much is out anywhere. We don't know how much is explored or unexplored because many of us aren't privileged enough to be able to see beyond what the powers that be would like us to see, right? So just think about that, man. Investigate. I encourage you to investigate. We've been rocking for an hour and 9 minutes here. I'm gonna wrap this little virtual chat up right here, guys, because I don't want the chat to be 2 hours, 3 hours, that kind of thing. But we'll be back in virtual. Check that out. We chilled for a little bit here. Make sure you guys visit our website, www.daus.me, where we're nonstop working. Join us at patreon.com/nonstopworking. Subscribe there, where we're going to be having talks and more content, new content, new music, all that stuff going up there for you guys. Make sure you visit the website, Baron Herb Paintings. Stay informed about my art exhibition we're going to be doing during the fall or summer, okay? Yeah, it's called Women Are Like Flowers. You can find a write-up about it. You can find a write-up about that at our website. And also, visit nastywork.com for American Battle Rap. Shout out to my man D-Money over at Backstory Battle League. We encourage you guys to go like, subscribe, and share there. Also, join the live chats, okay? Hit the notification link so this way you can be notified when D-Money goes live. That'll be dope for you. You can find me in the chat. Oftentimes, I'm in there or in the bushes. So if you see me there, say what's up. Say what's up. Don't be shy. Say what's up. And also, guys, we have a song writing contest. We got a song contest going down. You can find out more about that at nastywork.com. That's nastywurk.com. And if you would like to participate in our tournament, we're going to be doing a chess tournament. You can find out about that at chesstrunk.com. And if you want to be a sponsor or donate to the production of the tournament, you can get in contact with me. Information will be found at chesstrunk.com, chesstrunk.com. All right, guys, it's been nice virtualing with you. I'm going to go continue to virtual on my own, but I'm going to let you guys off the hook here. And I'll wrap with you, all right? I'll wrap with you all. Excuse me. All right? I'll wrap with you, all right? All right? So I'll wrap with you. Peace.